found. And I think that's another thing that I keep at the most elemental level, what we are creating with our... I mean, if you put your hand several inches above the soundboard, on even on a little harp when you're playing, you can feel that vibration even if you're not touching the instrument. And it's a physical thing. And I just want to, for anybody who hasn't done Module 2, so all the students out there, in my Module 2, Tina played, and I was on the floor. I was one of the people that got to experience her playing in different positions around our bodies. And when she was down by my left foot, I felt, physically felt, this, you know, sound go through my foot, up my leg, up to my heart, and wrap around me. And I physically felt like I was being held. And I went, oh, that's why she calls it a cradle of sound. It's not a poetic phrase. It's a real experience. And once I had that experience in the class, I thought, oh, now I get it. This is what we are going to be doing. And I know that people are feeling that. There have been a few times where I know somebody's had that experience, and sometimes people have told me. So it's a real thing. It's not a airy, fairy concept. And I just wanted to share that. So that's all.
Thank you, Carolyn. Any comments, Richard?
Well, you can just add to that. I mean, you said it so beautifully. There's nothing that you said it. But there's one other sort of aspect that the wisdom traditions would add to that, and they would say that just as you send that energy out, and you're right, it's like a ripple. It goes on into infinity. It never stops. Imagine that all of that energy then returns to us when we need it. I mean, so I'm not talking about a quid pro quo or a narcissistic motive for doing this. However, we are creating in this work, I think, a wonderful guarantee, if you will, that when we're in that place, all of that energy that we've been sending out and that we've used to help others, that love returns. Those connections are not broken. They're not just past tense experiences. And I find that just overwhelming. I was coming up to the 2-year anniversary of my wife's death, and I was certainly the hardest death I've ever had to attend, just because it was the hardest person I had to let go of. But having been involved in this work for so many years, the absolute consolation that I had in knowing that that last breath was not the end, that that last breath continues to go out and continues to surround me. And so it for me has been the greatest gift of faith to hang out around this work. And it's not that it's always, you know, light and glowing, and that there's challenges to it too. But I do believe that intention, love sent out, is never wasted. It comes back and it returns to us 100-fold. So thank you for that.
Thank you. Two quick questions here. We have one from Rachel Christensen and one from Judy Byron. I'm going to open up the mic to Judy first. Judy?
Hi, Tina. Hi, Richard. Richard, you talked about the Hebrew alphabet and the tones, and I was wondering, this is not new to me, but I don't know how to find out any more about that. Like, what are the tones? How can I research that, and how can I know it's a different culture, it's not our Western system, but if you could give me any info on that, it's fascinating to me.
Okay, there's a lot of answer to that. It's complex, but I will tell you, if you really have an interest in it, and I'm going to close here at the end by just sharing some contact information with myself and my center. And if any of you have a specific request for maybe more information in that area or another area, I'm very good about answering emails and linking people, and I can research, I don't have it at my fingertips, and give you some of the websites that you can use to go deeper into this. And you don't have to be a Kabbalistic scholar to follow this. One of the websites that's coming to mind, and I don't have it at my fingertips, but is very accessible, and they play the musical bits right online. And if nothing else, just the theory of it I find fascinating, first of all, and then maybe even as a part of it that you might want to follow deeper.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I'm going to open the mic up to Rachel.
Tina, I must have pressed my number by accident, so I don't have a question, but I'm certainly loving the comments and from everyone. It's just wonderful.
Okay, and we had one more comment come in from Cheryl Kissling. So, Cheryl, you have the mic.
Yes, I was wondering with the spiritual health assessment, who or when in the process is that given out? I was thinking, you know, if they were just diagnosed and have all the hope and everything, they're not probably quite ready for this, or are they then, or is it like when they enter hospice, or... What is it, since you said it's not right
at
the very
good.
Last day, of course?
Good question, and then that gives me kind of permission to take that question and move to my final comment.
Absolutely,
about the center,
yes.
And about our courses. So the assessment form is there. Certainly a person can, anyone could look at it and find maybe some usefulness or application, but it is meant to be applied in the context of some study of the four spiritual pains, so that not only would I, you know, ask a person maybe that to answer that question, and obviously that would not be something you would be doing on a person's deathbed, but you might do it in a nursing home setting, or when a person is first admitted to hospice, or some hospitals use it as a regular part of their admission just in normal acute care facilities. It's a way of taking the spiritual pulse of a person, but I think the ethical part of it that I would want to emphasize is that if I did find out that a person is in extreme spiritual suffering in one area or another, then I would also want to have the ability to have someone who could respond to that. And that's really what our coursework has been over the years. Our center is called the Sacred Art of Living Center. You can Google that and go online sometime, and there's several hundred pages there. There's videos, there's teachings, there's some wonderful, inspiring material there. So even if you don't connect with us in a formal way, please just consider that a resource. And one of the resources there is a button on the website called the Book of Life, and it's explained on the website that if you have a situation where a person is in real suffering, or that you're in a real serious place of need, you send that name in virtually to us, and that name, that intention, is sent literally all over the world, and the website explains that, to wonderful places and faith communities to be supported in prayer, and regardless of a person's spiritual belief or background. And so I just always like to share that with people, because it's just a great service that we've been doing for 15 years, and the stories that have come back have been very profound. But if you would like to learn more about our courses called The Sacred Art of Living and Dying, which are precursors to the Anamkara training. So there's a formal internship in the Anamkara project, and that's really the North Star work of our center. You can learn about all of that. We do our courses in different parts of the country and many different parts of the world, and you can get all the calendars and schedules and information on that online. And on that spiritual health assessment form that I asked Tina to send to you, there's our web address there, www.sacredartofliving.org. And if you send a question in to me, some of you had maybe some questions where you'd like to go a little further, get more information on the Hebrew alphabet and the Psalms, for example, I'd be happy to give you some of those resources. Just send a question into that, and it will get to me. The other address I'll give you, if you'd like to write to me directly, is my email address is just richard@sacredartofliving.org. And Sacred Art of Living is all small with no spaces. And I'm very good about answering emails, and I would be happy to be a resource for you. If something I've shared here today, you know, you'd like to, you know, maybe raise some questions, or you'd like more resources, that's really what our center is about. So over the years, we've had a wonderful relationship with Tina's work. We've had so many students who have gone, you know, from one program to the other, and I suspect that relationship will continue, and I'm grateful for this chance this evening, just to talk with you and share with you all, and I hope a little bit of this has been useful to you.
Well, Richard, thank you so much for all that you've contributed for us tonight and for on the line. It is true that a lot of people have taken the International Harp Therapy Program, and then the natural progression is to go, especially those people who have a calling to work in hospice. Not all people have that calling. Some people want to work in rehab units. Some people want to work in nursing homes, doing more entertaining. But many people have a calling to be in this sacred position. And to be able to look forward after our program going into another program that will take you deeper into that, the International Harp Therapy Program really is a stepping stone for people finding what pathway they're going to take their music and their service, whether it be entering into music therapy or music thanatology or into the Sacred Art of Living and Dying program, becoming Anamkara. There are so many avenues that our work can be of service. And once you know what's in your heart, then you want to be able to get more information to be the best you can in that position. So I thank you very much, Richard, for joining us tonight. And I also want to thank you, Deborah. You're on the line.
I am, and I'd like to make one quick comment, if I may.
Yes.
There was a comment earlier about concerns that that hospice is so not really many cultures that don't embrace hospice and have kind of a fear of the whole death process. And I just wanted to reinforce the fact that hospice is not only about supporting the dying process, but it's also a support of life. And
right.
That our challenge as hospice people and people who are knowledgeable of hospice in our communities and in our relationships with the people around us is to reinforce the fact that hospice is not necessarily about the death process. I mean, yes, it is a big part of it indeed, but the whole palliative care and the ability to bring interventions that assess the patient from all aspects and not just...
Mm-hmm. You're right. And I think when we look back onto the work of Cicely Saunders and Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, we get that sense of being able to live to the fullest, knowing
right.
that we are going to die eventually. And I just have to say, we are just so blessed here in San Diego with the amazing, amazing facility and group of people that we have at San Diego Hospice. And I think that holds true for practically every hospice that I've visited,
mm-hmm.
which has been quite a few now. And I think there's a big difference between the end of life in a hospital versus going into a hospice. There's a very different focus there.
Right.
So thank you for bringing that up.
I'm piggybacking on Deborah's comment, too.
Yeah?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm just thanking Richard for his talk tonight. It was wonderful.
Well, and I want to thank Deborah. I think piggybacking on what you said, too, I think one of the aspects of life that hospice brings is that after death does occur, which is inevitable in all of our lives, the work of grief and mourning and turning that back into life for people is
mm-hmm.
a huge dimension of what we do as well. And sometimes we think of it in hospital systems as just, you know, once the person dies, it's over. But I think a huge part of the spectrum of what hospice does is also to continue to work with those who are left behind. And
mm-hmm.
that's a really important dimension of this work as well. So thank you all for just being such open, wonderful spirits. I hope we get to meet someday.
Wonderful. I'm sure we will. I always have you coming back to our gatherings. I'd like to take a moment right now just to mention that our next month lesson is going to focus on the different modalities of what is out there. You'll be hearing from a music thanatologist. You'll be hearing from Barb Crow, who works in music therapy. You'll be hearing from Stella Benson, who works in therapeutic musicianship. You'll be hearing from a sound healer. I think it will be Joshua Leeds. You will be hearing the recording that Don Campbell did about having music into the hospitals. We're going to explore what all of these people do in their training and how they bring different aspects, including the volunteers, to the hospital. And as a result of that, we're planning to put out literature that goes to facilities all around the world, translated into different languages, about what each of the modalities do, so that people know that we're not music therapists, or we're not music thanatologists, or that we're therapeutic musicians, specifically harp therapy. So you're going to have a sense of what each modality consists of as far as training and their scope of practice. And those recordings are then going to be assembled so that we can send them off to administrators, to facilitators in institutions all around the country and facilities, to give them a sense of how they can create a comprehensive music program in their facility. So the next conference call we have will be dedicated to all of these segments, starting out first with Barb Crow, who will be talking on ethics, because ethics is extremely important, not only in our relationship to the patients, but in relationship to our colleagues. So at this point, and the other thing I wanted to mention is that we're going to have a lower workload this next month, so you can focus in on your paper that's due. So be in touch with your mentors. The mentors will gently be in touch with you to keep you on track. And right now I'm going to open up everybody's mic so that you can all thank Deborah and thank Richard. Okay, thank you. Everybody has the mic now.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.